It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog.
I actually have you in my phone as Corinne, yoga badass, with an exclamation point. I'm like, this has to be her.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. You're just Christina Braun on my phone. Sorry.
It's a very classic name.
Should be X-Tina though, right?
My Spotify is Christina Braun, but then I also put X-Tina yoga.
Nice.
So like work on that branding, I guess.
Oh God, I hate that. I hate branding. It's so complicated.
What's your brand?
So I am the Agape Portal is my brand.
Mm-hmm.
And the intention behind that is that I am an assistant or a guide in helping people to connect to that like highest form of love. I heard the word agape in like a download one day. It was like agape. And I was like the church was my like immediate response, because that's the only time I'd ever heard that word. Is in regards to like Christianity.
Really? I've never heard that word before.
Okay, so if you look it up, if you look up agape, A-G-A-P-E, not to be confused with agape, spelled the same way.
Be careful what you're putting in your search engine.
Different word. Exactly. But if you look it up, it's like agape church, and like it's this like form of like love of God and Jesus and all of that. And I was like, I don't know. I just felt the need to keep searching, right? Like mm-hmm. keep looking. And I finally got to like the etymology of the word, like the origin of the word. And the origin of the word, it's Greek, and it actually is the highest form of love. So
wow.
Inevitably it would be attached to, you know, like spirituality, God, whatever, religion. But yeah, so when I heard the word, it was like, that's part of your purpose here. So like my website is agapeportal.space. My podcast that is no longer currently in rotation, but I keep thinking about bringing it back.
It's still active.
Yeah.
So, okay, for everyone listening in, hi, I'm Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga podcast. And today, my very special guest is Corinne Hathaway.
Hello, hello.
So can you give us like a little like introduction? Tell us about you.
Totally. So I'm Corinne. I grew up here in Boise and tried to leave a bunch of different times and kept coming back. And so I teach yoga, meditation. I call myself a consciousness coach more than anything. And what I feel like that entails is primarily just using all of the tools that I personally have amassed over the last like 40 years of my life. And you know, sharing those with people to the point where they're like, hey, that works for me, or that doesn't work for me. So really just helping people to identify that highest love within themselves, you know, love of self, love of community, whatever it may be. And through that, just feeling like their strongest, most authentic, purest, truest self.
I'm really curious how you got into yoga and meditation, and then how that led you into the Agape Portal and the Akashic Records. And when I follow you on social media, I just feel blown away. I'm like, what is happening? What is she talking about?
Aww.
It's very intriguing to me.
That's so sweet. It's so funny because I feel the same way about you. I'm like, she's doing so many cool things. It's so amazing. So I love that. I call it the golden shadow. I don't know if you've heard that term before.
No.
So when you see somebody doing something and it's like in the same kind of like vein of you, or something that inspires you, like you see somebody writing a book or whatever it may be. And rather than going, oh my God, that person's so amazing, I'm not near as good as them, blah, blah, blah. Which I think we've all been in that place as well.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, we've all been there. It's part of the journey. But eventually you evolve into the space where you're like, oh my God, that's so cool that they're doing that. I could do that.
Yes.
And instead of feeling like they're better, it's more like it's an inspiration where you're like, if that person can write a song, I can write a song.
Mm-hmm.
And my song will be my song and their song is their song, and we can like support each other. So
yes.
Anyways, I feel that when I see your stuff online. So thank you for saying that. Long-winded way to say thank you.
Yeah, I like the golden shower. Shadow.
Overheard at yoga.
Be careful what you put in your search engine. Oh my gosh.
That was brilliant. So how did I get from yoga to...
Yes. So how did you even get into yoga, period?
Yeah. That's a great story. It's so funny you asked that. I was just writing that story down the other day. I stumbled into a yoga class when I was living in San Francisco. Just like, I was at the end of a relationship. Life sucked. I was miserable. I had no idea what I was going to do next. I think how... The same time when a lot of people find yoga.
Same.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yoga. This was so 2000, this was 2008, I think. Yeah. And I'd heard, you know, people like, yoga is amazing. It's like kind of becoming, was becoming like more known, especially in a place like San Francisco. And so initially I was like, I'm never going to do yoga because everybody does yoga, because that was the way I was back then.
Yep.
And then I was like, well, I have nothing else left to try. So I'm going to try yoga. Randomly found a class that happened to be right off my BART stop on my way home, like just was easy, and walked in there and happened. My first yoga class, of course, happens to be with this like very well-known yoga teacher. His name's Les Leventhal. He's not as well-known now because he's like older and kind of more in retirement. But like back then, I mean, he was having Michael Franti play in his yoga classes in San Francisco just for free, like things like that. Like,
amazing.
He taught like the first Wanderlust in Tahoe, like things like that.
Cool.
So my first yoga teacher is this like phenomenal teacher. In this class, there's like 50 people. Everybody's sweating. It's dark. And I just like, I sweat. And then I was just like sobbing, like just crying. And I came out and I was like, what just happened to me? It was like, I call it my first awakening. Like it was my first place where I was like, there's more, you know, where I really like realized that there was more than just this like go to work, do the things, you know, try to find a successful relationship, try to get married, try to have kids, try to do all these things that like society tells you you're supposed to do.
Yep.
And I went to yoga and I was like, oh, this is amazing. And yeah, and I was kind of addicted after that. Moved back to Boise. There was like no yoga here, like none.
I think like, it was you and Marie. I just moved back from Seattle and I just, just got into yoga also. And I was like, where you guys were talking about yoga. I'm like, well, where do you do yoga? And you're like, Sage is the best studio.
When Sage opened. Yeah. This was, I moved back before there was a Sage. There was nothing. There was Iyengar. That was it. That was it. And I had been taking a vinyasa class and I was like, I don't want Iyengar. I want like the sweaty vinyasa that I was like used to. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there was Bikram. And so I actually did Bikram for a little bit, but I couldn't handle it because there was carpet in it. Ugh. And it was smelly.
Yeah.
And there was like this breathing thing you did with your chin that I hated. Yep. So I was like, Bikram's not for me. And then I did, and then that was right around the time when Sage opened. And so I did, I started at Sage, but then I also was practicing at Sumit's for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And was kind of going back and forth there for a minute, and then got bored at Sumit's because it was just kind of the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the mixing it up a little bit. So yeah, that's where the yoga journey started. And I really feel like it like cracked the door open for everything else. And so through my, you know, through my like yoga community, through my yoga practice, I ended up several years later in Teotihuacan in Mexico. And I would say when I was, so I was like six years ago, when I was there, it was like all of a sudden, like all of this, like another level of awakening, basically, mm-hmm. to the point where I'm like hearing things and, you know, seeing things and that like aren't there, but like are there.
How did you lean into that and embrace it and decide to hone it?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've had little whispers of things and I've been like, nope, that's too weird. That's too anxiety. Uh-huh. But I'm still... I like my crown chakra, I've been told, is very blocked and something that I've considered working on.
Mm-hmm.
But so I feel like I'm kind of in and out of that energetic realm, mm-hmm. that you're describing. I don't know how to describe it.
No, you totally are. I 100%. I can. Yeah. Well, it was never a big question for me of leaning into it. It was kind of like once it started happening, I was like, oh, yeah. This has always been there. I've just been sort of shut off to it, you know? It's like I've had my life on mute to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like once I like took it off mute, I was like, oh, there's so much more. like there's so much more to connect to. There's so much more to like respect and, you know, have gratitude for. And it just, it started to bring so much clarity. And I think in the first place, the big part of it was, you know, I've always been, not now, but like a little bit now too, probably, but I've always been really insecure. And so like, just always felt like I never fit in anywhere. Like I always felt like I kind of had to like make myself more like this person or like that person, right? Like I never knew who like I was and like my own true authentic like self. Like it was just, there was always somebody else I was kind of trying to like be accepted by and therefore like emanating them in some way.
So relatable, especially people in their 20s.
Oh God, yeah, yeah. And so it was like, once this stuff started happening, I was like, it felt like a permission slip, you know, to be, and I'm sure you do this in yoga all the time when you're teaching too, is like constantly telling people like to give themselves permission to like have the experience that they need to have in class, like whatever mm-hmm. that may be, you know? And it was just like this permission slip of like, it's okay to be kind of a weirdo. Like you've always felt like a weirdo anyway, right? Like you've always felt just a little bit different than everybody else. And then through like starting to kind of lean into that more, I realized that actually more people feel that way than the other way.
Amazing.
Right?
Incredible.
We all feel weird. Like being a human is such a weird experience.
So weird. Such a weird experience. I was recently in Montana. Like I just got back. Nice. And it was a really cool girls trip. And I connected with my friend Emma, who I hadn't seen in 5 years. She's been in Guam the last 3 years. And she had a friend in Sun Valley who I had maybe met once 10 years ago, like after a Farmer Brown's show or something. And so she reconnected with her, and then they had a couple friends. So I knew one person, and then I met these like three other amazing individual, strong women. And we take a road trip to Montana, and one is an Ayurvedic health practitioner, one's a massage therapist, the other one is a baby 23-year-old, but she has never like been the most outspoken version of herself, and she knows who she is at such a young age, and she's a rafting guide, and she's getting her EMT right now, and she wants to become snow patrol, and she's got these goals and plans, and she's just like not shy at all and just gets mm-hmm. after it. And I was so inspired spending a week with them in Montana. Oh, so much fun.
Yeah, it's like you had your own, you just like a spur of the moment retreat, basically.
And we were like, all weird people. Like we were all weird in our own ways. And then at one point by the end of the trip, we all started to acknowledge like each other's weirdness and how it was such a wonderful experience for us to experience each other's weirdness.
It's incredible.
Yeah, so I'm just riding high on that right now.
It feels so good to connect and like find your people like that, and to realize that there's so many of them out there, you know. And I think that's, for me, one of the reasons that I am still like trudging along in this like self-employed business owner life and like being like, oh, this is so hard sometimes, I should just go get a job, is because then, you know, I meet somebody or I connect with somebody or whatever, and it's like oh yeah, another one, you know, another one. And because my journey in for me felt so traumatic in some ways, and so like just emotionally traumatic, if I can be a support in any way, you know, for someone to just be like, it's okay, you're not weird, you know, or you are weird and that's cool too. Like whatever you want to label it as, that's fine. Like mm-hmm. I no longer use the term woo-woo, but I know some people like that term. I personally don't. I think that belittles our gifts and things like that. So I would actually prefer weird to woo-woo for
sure.
But I just, you know, I just look at it as like gifted and, you know, and everybody, there's so many people alive right now who are waking up, are, you know, and just looking for other people like them. And it's like, if you can just be that one person to be like, it's cool. Yeah, there's 100% a ghost there. Don't even worry about it, you know, or whatever it is.
I had a psychic tell me, he's like, they're just people. Just relax. I don't see any dark energy around you. They're just people. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can tell them that they're in your space and to leave your space. And I was like, I can? Oh, yeah, just tell them. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
You can set boundaries. Absolutely. That's definitely one of the things that everyone that I meet who works more with spirit and works more with, you know, the astral realms and things like that, is that eventually we get to the point where we have to set a boundary where it's like, hey, guess what? It's not okay for you to contact me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, that's not the right time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I realize I have a client in the morning and you're coming through from them and trying to tell me things that I need to, like, know for their reading in the morning, but I'm going to need you to wait until like 7. Like, and it works amazing. Most of them. They're pretty good with boundaries. You just have to set them really clearly.
Can you walk me through how a session with you works?
Yeah. So, you know, depending on the session, it's very intuitive for me. So I usually like to start off, unless someone's coming to me specifically for like an Akashic Records reading, because that's like a very specific type of reading where we start with a meditation to ground and center, and like we clear their primary chakras. And then I will open the records and then just channel whatever comes through from the Akashic Records, which are the records of like your soul's history, path, purpose, like everything your soul has ever experienced, is experiencing, will experience, and so on.
It's so overwhelming.
It can be, for sure. So that's an Akashic Records reading. Generally speaking, I do prefer to, like, you know, meet with a client, whether it's on Zoom or in person, and just take some time to like track them intuitively and just, you know, feel into like their energy, and like, you know, they have to obviously give me permission to do so, but just like feeling into, you know, what's going on with them. And then based on that, it's like we can do different things, whether we're doing something active like a pranayama or breath practice, or we're doing a meditation, or we're going to, you know, I'm going to channel their spirit guides or their guardians or their angels or their ancestors or, you know, whatever it may be. And then I usually do open the records as well, just to have them. I consider the Akashic Records like my double check for everything that I do.
Okay.
So, because I know that I'll always get an answer there. Like, anytime if I'm in the records, like, I know that I'm going to get an answer, like whatever is for the highest good of the client or myself or whoever I'm in the records for. I know that I'll get the answer that I need. So like, if, for example, if we're going in to like retrieve someone's power, primary power animal, I'm going to do it the way I do it, but I'm going to have the records open the whole time. And then once I get to the point where I've like identified, like we found the animal, I'm going to ask my guides in the records and say, is this right? Is this correct? And then they're going to tell me yes or no, or they're going to be like, no, you need to restart, or you're
really
close. Like, one time I pulled the animal that came through for someone was, see if I can remember this. I don't always remember what I channel, but it was a salamander, or like a newt or something, but the actual animal that it was supposed to be was a lizard.
Mm.
But it was like the cards that I was using to help identify it didn't have the lizard in the deck. And so I got the closest thing. And then when I checked in with my guides in the records, they were like, close. It's actually the lizard. I was like, all right.
Great.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a test, I guess, for myself too.
So when people come to you, and I'm imagining, how long have you been offering these readings?
I guess it's like 3 years now.
Have you noticed like a trend in what people come to you for? I mean, COVID was a huge, huge thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to get into that very, very much and how that affected.
Yeah.
But do people typically come to you because they want to know about their past? They want to know about their future? They want to know about relationships? Is there a trend?
It usually will come in like waves. So like, oftentimes, and what I usually tell people too is like, you can come with specific questions. You can, you know, come with looking for guidance on something or clarity on something, and we'll absolutely go there. But it's also really important to be open to whatever comes through for your highest good in this moment, because there's going to be, inevitably, there's always a message that comes through first. That's like, this is what you need to hear for right now. And then from there, we can go into like, okay, this person wants to know about, you know, whatever it is. I get a lot of questions about relationships. It's a pretty common one.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Relationships are a tricky, tricky thing. Yeah, get a lot of people looking for their, you know, quote unquote soulmates and quote unquote twin flames and all that. Like, there's a lot around that.
Do you believe twin flames are real?
I do, but not in the way that we've sort of been like taught or whatever to believe. Like, I don't think a twin flame is like this like most powerful, passionate relationship that's going to be like the end all be all. I think that there are multiple flames out there. And I think that when we come across a twin flame, if we even do in this, you know, in this lifetime, it's meant to sort of like shake things up for us and help with our like transformation and evolution. And so it's not always good. It's not always like a happy, positive thing. It can be, but a lot of times it's like lighting a fire, burning shit down, and then like
spark change.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, I do have like, I did a couple's reading and they were twin flames, and theirs was very much a, like their flames would balance each other out. So like, I'm doing like a scale motion with my hands right now. Like there's like, when his flame would go brighter, her flame would generally dim. When her flame would go brighter, it would dim. And the reason they had to see that is because they were trying to learn in this lifetime how to match their flames.
Wow.
So sometimes it's like a really beautiful situation, like for them. It's like a lesson in balance for them, you know? But other times, yeah, it's just like an explosion. It's like, poof, blow it up.
Oh my gosh, there's a lot of fire.
Yeah, there can be. And then sometimes it's muted too, right? Like this is your twin flame and what they're doing is they're basically like smothering, you know, they're like smothering your flame. There's not enough air. Like what? There's so many different ways it can present itself, but inevitably it's something powerful and transformational, you know, whereas like a soulmate is going to be somebody who maybe your souls have made a contract, you know, in a past life or for this life specifically. And you can be both a soulmate and a twin flame. It can happen at the same time. Soulmates, again, aren't always good. Sometimes you've made a soul contract with somebody and it's not healthy, you know?
What? Like you'd make a naughty contract?
Yeah, or just like a toxic contract. Like, you know, you make a contract where you're like, I promise you, you know, in a past life or something, you're like, I promise you that I'll wait for you no matter what. And so then you can never move on because you're waiting for this like other soul. And like, you may not find them for lifetimes or ever, or who knows, like.
So romantic.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Not fun.
Exactly. So yeah.
Wait, I mean, why would you do that in the past? Why would your soul make a contract like that?
Because maybe you were just like so in love.
Like an immature soul.
Or you had like a really important, you know, you had a really special connection. You're like, let's make a contract to find this again, which sounds cool in theory. But if you think about it, if you make a contract to find that again, you're not going to have anything else that's powerful in your life until you find that again. And you could go through how many lifetimes to find it. There's no guarantee that you're going to both, your souls are going to both opt to come down at the same time every time.
So someone listening in and they're kind of not sure what we're talking about exactly. If they wanted to look up and read more about Akashic Records, where would they start?
Yeah, so you can definitely just do an easy Google search of Akashic Records and you'll get some information. Dr. Linda Howe is sort of the pioneer in the current realm of Akashic Records, I would say. She sort of was the first person to bring this knowledge into the mainstream. She received a download that was like, this is no longer secret. It's no longer meant to be secret and for like special people anymore. Like you need to put this out into the world. And so she's got books on like how to do it. And she does courses and things like that. If you wanted to look more, she's a pretty good resource.
Did you take courses?
I just read her first book. So when I first heard the word Akashic, I heard the word Akasha, which means space. It was one of those moments where I was like, I know that word. Like, I totally know that word. Why is that? Like, it was so like familiar. I was just like, I know this. And so I just started looking into like, what is the Akashic realm? What is the Akasha, Akashic Records, blah, blah, blah. And then I found Dr. Linda Howe through that. And she literally has a book called How to Read the Akashic Records. And so I bought that book and I read it in probably like 45 minutes. Like, I read that book so fast. I've never read a book that fast in my life. And she tells you how to open the records in a certain way. I don't really open them that way much anymore. But when I first started, it was really helpful.
Is it a meditation?
It's a prayer.
Okay.
Yeah. So she kind of like explains the realm and like how to get into it through sort of a clearing meditation, which I had a clearing meditation that I did already. So I kind of just did that. But then there's an actual prayer. It's called the Pathway Prayer. And it's like an actual prayer to open the records. And so And then she kind of guides you, like when you open them for the first time, like just sit with them, you know, don't ask anything, don't look for anything, just like get used to what that feels like. Cause it's like, it's a trippy space. It's like,
I believe you.
Yeah, it's a trippy space. So that's a great place to start. If you feel like there's a good chance too, like if anyone listening has like experienced something that's like, they're like, what is that? I feel like I'm in a different place. You've probably gone there already. Like everyone has access to the Akashic, to your own Akashic records. So there's a good chance that you've been there already.
You believe in past lives, multiple lives.
Definitely.
You believe in souls.
Definitely.
You believe in soulmates?
Yeah.
Not in the way people perceive
them? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've connected with a few different soulmates in this lifetime.
So I heard you say you don't get into people's stuff without their permission.
Right.
But have you been hanging out with people and you just like, you're like, I feel something about you and I'm just going to say it.
I used to, I would say when this first started kind of happening for me, when I first started like coming online, if you will. I didn't really have boundaries around it. So I would get little hits of just random, I don't know, little things that would come through. And I would, it was never, luckily for me, it was never anything crazy. Like, you know, I never saw like a big, I know people who are like, I saw this like, you know, this dark entity attached to the back of this person's neck and I didn't know what to say, right? Like,
my God.
That's never happened to me. But, you know, little things like, I feel like your grandma's here with us, you know, like little things like that.
About someone dating you? Do they have to give you permission?
Yes. They do. Now, what I can do is I can go into, whether it's my own Akashic records or even just intuitively for myself, I can feel into a connection with someone, you know, and for me, though, from my perspective. So it's no different than like a parent wanting to know, like, oh, my gosh, how do I parent my child? I'm not going to open records for a child. But what I can do is ask what their soul's purpose is, like the parent's purpose in regards to their relationship with their child. Right. So coming at it from my perspective, as opposed to from the perspective of the other person.
Because you'd prefer to have consent from.
Yes. Well, and
open up their records.
Yeah. And I just generally, I don't know. I haven't worked with a lot of kids. I don't know. I've never really had, no one's asked me to open records for kids. So I just say that I don't do it, but.
It just wouldn't happen. A parent would come to you. How do I help
my
kid through this?
Yeah.
Just focus on the parent.
Exactly.
This is so fascinating. I definitely want to get some time with you because I feel like for me, sometimes I feel a little lost. Like I feel like I should be going in a direction and I'm not sure. Mm. So do people come to you when they're feeling like they need more clarity on their purpose?
Definitely.
Like career?
Definitely. I would say purpose and relationships are like the two biggest things that people come to me for. And inevitably, I notice if people come to me, they're generally really close, if not already on their like path, their destiny path or their dharma path.
But they might want some validation.
Exactly.
Why do we want validation so bad?
Why do we want validation so bad? Why do we want someone to tell us that we're doing a good job?
Why?
What is that?
Why?
What is that? It's everywhere. It's like, yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. And it's so funny because I can't tell you how many times I've done a reading for someone and they have a question and like the response that comes through is, you already know the answer to this. Why are you asking?
Oh my goodness. Just pull the trigger.
Yeah. Just do it. Just do it. You know, one of the other things I do human design readings. I don't know if you're familiar with human design.
I have heard of that. Can you spell it out?
Yeah. So human design, let me see if I get this right. It's a combination of the chakra system, the I Ching system, the gene keys to some degree, like the human genetic code or whatever, and astrology. And I think that's the four primary pieces. I feel like I'm always forgetting a piece. But basically, based on when and where you were born, just like astrology, you have this like design that you, the way that I've seen it and experienced it is, this is what I always tell people. So you're like a soul floating around in like light and ether, right? You're just like, I'm a soul. You have no personality or anything. And then you get this coloring sheet and the coloring sheet has a picture and you color in different centers and you circle different numbers and you connect some of the numbers together. And then that's your design and you get put into a body that has that design. And then so it explains you know, so many different things, like the way that you're meant to create, the way that you're meant to rest or work, the way that you're meant to make decisions, which is called your authority. And
I,
so
I want to say I got manifesting generator.
Yes. I can see that about you. Manifesting generators are like the super energetic multitasking beings who are like, I have this idea and 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 I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this. And they kind of just like, they make a lot of things happen, but they don't necessarily always finish them.
Oh, I'm being called out so much right now. That's so funny.
But it's okay. Like the manifesting generator is literally like you have the inspiration and you start the project or whatever it is. And then what you're supposed to do is delegate from there. You're like, cool, I got this ball rolling. Now I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to move on to the next cool thing that I want to do.
That makes sense as a manager.
Yeah.
Prime studio, 25 yoga teachers, and trying to juggle like a spa and events. And then I have my little side podcast.
I can't believe you're
retreats
still,
and training.
You're still managing. I managed Sage for a minute and that was not for me.
Well,
yoga teachers are hard people to manage.
Oh, I call them unicorns.
So flaky.
All right.
Right? So flaky.
Massage therapists are an interesting group of people
oh
as well.
Gosh. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And trying to get them to coordinate, like you want the room this time and you want the room that time. And
Well, as a Virgo, I've been really good about bringing in Virgo energy. So we have like our spa, like our lead massage therapist who kind of sets the tone, and he's a Virgo. So I'm like, okay,
nice.
Now I've delegated the spa to him.
Yeah, that's amazing. Hey, it's your full moon on Friday.
It is my full moon on Friday.
Virgo full moon.
Hey guys, this is Travis from SB Studios. We realized after the recording that Christina forgot to ask the guest what she overheard at yoga. So we had to record it after the fact, and we're just going to splice it in right here. So if it sounds a little different, that's why, but enjoy.
So I was thinking about my overheard in yoga story, and I was thinking about a lot of different things. But the one that just really replays in my mind, less of an overheard and more of a student came up to me after class and told me this. So this was one of my very first teaching gigs. I was teaching out at Lotus Tree in Bound Crossing. It's not there anymore, but I was teaching yoga out there, and I would have maybe one student. Like, I think my biggest class was maybe 4 students one time. And anyways, I had this one student who would come consistently. She would come once or twice a week to the, I think I taught 2 classes out there at that time, but she would come all the time, and she was really like my consistent one student. And she would, generally speaking, argue with me about just pretty much everything, but then she would keep coming back. It was hands down the most challenging teaching experience I've ever had. But anyways, one time after class, so it was one of the times when I had a few people in class. I want to say it was one of my bigger classes. There were probably like 4 people there. And she waited until everybody else left. And she came up to me after class and she was like, I found it very hard to concentrate in that class. And I was like, oh, okay. Like trying to be, you know, really nice. I was like, well, you know, what was going on? Like, was it thoughts in your mind? You know, just trying to be like the good yoga teacher. And she's like, the person next to me was breathing really loud. And the person next to her was like doing ujjayi breath, like ocean breath, right? So very much like something you hear in a yoga class on the regular. And she was like, it was very distracting for me, and you should have told them that they needed to stop that because it's distracting other people in the class. And I was completely just stumped. Like I just was like, yeah, that's, you know, that's a type of yoga breath. Like I did my best, but I had no idea. I had no idea what to say. I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to respond to this. So I'm grateful to the student because of her, no teaching experience will ever be challenging for me, ever, in comparison to that.
Exciting.
It's exciting.
Okay, so we have to wrap it up because we're running out of time. People who want to connect with you, how?
Yeah. So you can connect with me on Instagram. I'm just at Corinne_Hathaway, or you can go to my website, which is agapeportal.space. And I would say that those are probably the 2 primary ways. I technically have a Facebook, but I don't think I've logged into Facebook for like a month.
I think a lot of people are also doing that with Facebook.
It's not really my jam. Yeah.
So people can do yoga with you still too.
Yeah. And I'm teaching yoga at True North Yoga, which is over off 10th Street in the North End. It's awesome. It's a sweet little space. I actually, self-promotion time. I have an immersion workshop this Friday. So March 18th. Is this coming out before then?
It comes out next Wednesday.
Okay. So never mind. Scratch that. Cut that. Erase that. Never mind.
This is what made me think of you recently is I went to Salt
Sanctuary
with my friend Tom, and I saw you on the website.
Yes, I do breath work at the Salt Sanctuary every Saturday, at least for another couple of weeks until Farmer's Market starts, and then I'll have to pull back. But right now, Saturday is 10 a.m., and then the first Saturday of every month, I lead a kirtan, which is like a call and response chanting with cacao, and we drink cacao and then we sing, and it's really beautiful. So I do that the first Saturday in the afternoon at Salt Sanctuary. It should be on their website.
And then what do you do with Saturday Market?
So my parents own H&H Farms, which is greenhouse tomatoes and cucumbers.
Cool.
Yeah. And so I sling produce at the Boise Farmers Market on Saturdays.
Your parents are amazing.
They
are. They still rafting all the time?
We are all still rafting all the time.
Yes.
Christina's been rafting with us.
Like hands down, like the best rafting
group. Yeah, didn't we do, we did like an overnight trip on the South Fork of the Boise.
Yes.
Yeah, when you were dating Maddie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Such a cutie, little hottie. I'm so happy for him and his wife.
Yes.
They have a kid.
They do. She's got like the big, huge, they both have blue eyes. So she's got these like huge blue eyes and super sweet and... Yeah, I haven't seen them in a while, but yeah, that was back in the day.
I love back in the day. Back Boise the day. Crew, one of the best rafting trips.
So fun.
Thanks for coming on my podcast. So good to reconnect with you.
Oh.
And I hope you guys check out Corinne. And yeah, we'll leave it there.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Please rate and review us. It's a great way to help others find the community. If you found this podcast interesting or valuable, please share it with a friend. Also, if you are interested in sponsoring or showing support, you can contact me via email. It's xtinayoga@gmail.com. Otherwise, please follow on Instagram, overheard@.yoga.